Chapter 20. Conquering Inflammation and Autoimmune Disease, Bringing Peace to the Body. The latest research on treating Crohn's disease, multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, and psoriasis. In this chapter, you'll learn about real healing and relief for people who once had no hope. They're fighting autoimmune disease, an onslaught that strikes tens of millions of people. But it's also the arena for many of the most exciting and imaginative advances in regenerative medicine. Here are some of the new ideas we'll be covering. A breakthrough treatment that can obliterate the pain and suffering of Crohn's disease and rheumatoid arthritis with precision electrical stimulation. A new approach using the power of stem cells to treat rheumatoid arthritis in children and help adults with late-stage heart failure or agonizing lower back pain. A leap in treating type 1 diabetes by replacing missing beta cells, which once seemed impossible. The basis of autoimmune disease and many other diseases is inflammation, which leads to dangerous mutations. It's how the body breaks down. You'll learn about new therapies to stop inflammation in its tracks, including one that removes inflammatory factors from blood plasma. We'll also share with you simple ways to modify what you eat and follow an anti-inflammatory diet. Before we begin, let's take a step back for a moment. What do we mean by autoimmune disease? In essence, it's a cellular civil war, and the destruction is brutal. Peter Diamandis calls it a breakdown of homeostasis, the delicate balance between letting infections run wild, which would kill you in a New York minute, and ambushing our own cells. Our fine-tuned immune system gets derailed and dysregulated. Instead of following genetic orders to terminate hostile microbes, our white blood cells defect to the dark side. They begin raiding our own tissues and the organs they're supposed to protect. Friend becomes foe. The result? Relentless pain, soul-killing exhaustion, a severe loss of function, and in severe cases, reduced life expectancy. Quick quiz. What's the most common class of chronic illnesses in the United States? If you're like most people or like me before I had the opportunity to do research for this book, you might have guessed heart disease or diabetes or cancer. But, like me, you'd be wrong. The most prevalent threats to our energy and well-being are autoimmune diseases, more than 100 in all. In Crohn's disease, the immune system mauls the cells of the large or small intestines. In rheumatoid arthritis, it wrecks the membranes that line our fingers and toes, ankles, and wrists. In type 1 diabetes, it destroys the insulin-producing cells of the pancreas. In multiple sclerosis, it shorts out the wiring of our central nervous system. In lupus, the invasion is global, tearing into kidneys, lungs, skin, heart, and brain. Autoimmunity may even be linked to autism. The leading national organization in the field estimates that 50 million people in the U.S. are challenged by autoimmunity, nearly double the total diagnosed with heart disease, more than twice the number living with cancer. It hits women hardest of all, at 3 or 4 times the overall rate for men. Among them, singers Selena Gomez and Toni Braxton, and my friend Kim Kardashian. Autoimmune disease is one of the top 10 leading causes of death in female children and women in all age groups up to age 64. What's more, it's getting more common each year. Over the last half century, studies have shown that the incidence of common autoimmune diseases has doubled and even tripled. Rates among children are skyrocketing. It's the closest thing in the Western world to a 21st century plague. Does this sound like a national health crisis to you? It does to me, too. Yet to this day, autoimmune diseases are underdiagnosed, undertreated, underreported, understudied, and underfunded. Primary care doctors commonly miss them. Frontline specialists, rheumatologists, gastroenterologists, neurologists, often fail to connect the dots. Federal funding for autoimmune disease research has stalled at an amount equivalent to 15% of how much, $7.17 billion, is allotted for studying cancer. It's hard to fathom that a condition affecting one of seven Americans could fly under the radar. But there it is. So where does autoimmune disease come from? It is a colossal task for the immune system to maintain tolerance to self and yet be ready to react to everything in the world around us. Bruce Butler, Nobel Prize-winning immunologist and geneticist. With the help of whole genome sequencing, we know that some people are predisposed to autoimmune disease from birth. But heredity isn't the only story, far from it. Identical twin studies suggest that our genes account for maybe one-third of our risk or even less. So genetics alone can't explain why these disorders are snowballing. It's safe to say the human genome has not changed over the past 50 years. So where does autoimmune disease come from? The usual suspects include infections, toxic chemicals in the environment, heavy metals, and ultraviolet radiation. In one study, researchers found 287 industrial toxins in fetal cord blood passed to newborns by their mothers before birth. But while scientists may differ about the specific triggers for autoimmunity, it's now widely accepted that the root cause of autoimmune disease is inflammation. What's really happening when your sprained ankle turns an angry red and swells to twice its size? Why do we feel so much pain? The answer is inflammation, your body's natural response for healing, an ancient survival mechanism to fight off infection and repair damaged tissue. The problem is that the wrong kind of inflammation, and too much of it, takes a mighty toll on your body. There are two main types of inflammation, acute and chronic. Acute inflammation is painful but generally positive because it starts the healing process. In the first few minutes after an injury, the damaged tissue sends off an SOS alarm throughout your entire body. By making your blood vessels leaky, hence the swelling, acute inflammation enables immune cells to quickly enter the affected area and start immediate repairs. But what if that original insult to the body never gets fixed or keeps getting repeated? The result can be chronic inflammation, which activates your immune system into a state of wartime readiness for months or years at a time. Chronic inflammation can lead to epigenetic DNA damage and diseases ranging from rheumatoid arthritis to cancer. Most autoimmune patients get trapped in an inflammatory loop, a lifetime of pain and addictive painkillers. They desperately need a fresh approach, a way to restore their balance and get back to their body's natural immune set point. So what's the solution? Once it's lost, can homeostasis be recovered? A number of emerging therapies suggest that it can. You're going to be so glad you listened to this chapter. If you know anybody who has lupus or rheumatoid arthritis or Crohn's disease, I strongly encourage you to keep listening. Because we're about to address one of the greatest advances in the fight against autoimmune disease, the exciting field of bioelectrics. Let's start with the story of a brave girl who was at her wit's end with the torment of autoimmunity, for whom nothing seemed to help, but who wouldn't take no for an answer. Story of Kelly Owens. We have met the enemy and he is us. Walt Kelly, creator of the comic strip Pogo. At age 13, Kelly Owens was healthy and physically active, like any other normal kid. She was tap dancing in her New Jersey school play when she seemed to sprain her ankle. No big deal, right? She figured she'd be back to normal in a week or two. But the swelling refused to go down. The injury sent a toxic wave through her body, as Kelly told us. Over the next several months, the pain radiated up the teenager's legs, then her arms, until it landed in her gut with a vengeance. Kelly found herself running to the bathroom 20 times a day, like she had the world's worst case of food poisoning. Except, it didn't go away. Scans showed extensive inflammation in both her small and large intestines, the signature of Crohn's disease, one of the better-known autoimmune diseases. Crohn's disease is a painful and potentially fatal condition that torments nearly 800,000 people in the U.S. alone. 20,000 more are diagnosed each year. About the same number suffer from ulcerative colitis, a related inflammatory bowel disease. Crohn's strikes people in their prime, usually before they turn 35. It causes unimaginable abdominal pain and cramping, diarrhea so severe you feel like you're turning inside out, weight loss and fatigue so crushing that getting out of bed feels like climbing the Himalayas. People with Crohn's run a higher risk of colon cancer, as well as dangerous bowel obstructions. 70 to 90% wind up in surgery, which often winds up failing within 10 years. Large portions of their bowels may end up having to be removed, leaving them forever dependent on an ostomy bag to eliminate waste from their body. Here's the grim kicker. There's been no definitive cure for Crohn's or for autoimmune disease in general. When Kelly's GI tract went on strike nearly 20 years ago, standard treatments were a roll of the dice, at best. At a time of life when her friends were stressing over prom or their next algebra test, Kelly was shuttling in and out of emergency rooms with flare-ups so excruciating she thought she would die. In spite of everything, Kelly excelled in school and became a high school teacher in Hawaii. Then she turned 25, and her whole body went on tilt. Just as aging is really one disease with many faces, autoimmune disorders are a subset of aging with the same tripwires. Once you develop one of them, you're a lot more likely to get two or three others. Kelly's knees and ankles swelled up like balloons. Walking became agony to the point where her husband, Sean, had to carry her from room to room. This all-too-common complication of Crohn's is inflammatory arthritis. It strikes young adults, children, even infants. Kelly was forced to quit her teaching job. She lost 32 pounds. There were days, she'd say, when she felt like a 90-year-old woman. She pushed herself to crisscross the country in search of a better treatment option, some new medicine that might just help. Aspirin and ibuprofen, the standard anti-inflammatory drugs, can be GI irritants for people with Crohn's or colitis. Methotrexate, a lower-dose version of a cancer chemotherapy drug, made Kelly nauseous without easing her symptoms. For the moment, the gold standard treatment for Crohn's is a group of cellular medicines called biologics. They're genetically engineered proteins derived from human cells, and you'll be hearing more about them later. Biologics have benefited millions of patients and have coaxed some into remission. They don't help everyone, however, and they didn't help Kelly. Her doctors had nothing else to offer but high-dose prednisone, a corticosteroid, great for quick symptomatic relief, but useless for slowing the disease's progress. Worse yet, steroids mount a scorched earth assault on our immune system. Prednisone can lead to glaucoma, diabetes, tuberculosis, and lymphoma, a cancer of our white blood cells. By her mid-20s, Kelly was diagnosed with osteoporosis, a thinning of the bones linked to long-term steroid use. "Nothing worked," she said, "but I sure got the side effects." Tool number one, treating Crohn's with bioelectronics. If you're going through hell, keep going. Winston Churchill, British Prime Minister during World War II. Though her future looked bleak, Kelly was unsinkable. She refused to give in or give up. She sustained her fighting spirit with an outlook I'd recommend to everyone. Kelly allowed that Crohn's was her now, but flat out refused to accept it as her forever. Her story turned when she found a trailblazing neurosurgeon on Long Island, an out-of-the-box inventor with a fresh idea for what ailed her. This game-changing therapy isn't a magic pill or potion or protein. It doesn't mess with our genes, it's totally non-toxic. It taps into the fundamental force that already runs our nervous system and has a big impact on our immune system, too. What was the inventor's secret? As you may have guessed, a budding hope for people with Crohn's, and lots of other problems, is based on electricity. It's an area with immense potential. Google's Verily Life Sciences and GlaxoSmithKline have invested more than $715 million into it since 2015. Bioelectronics is a prime example of how brilliant minds are working to replenish our natural life force. The most promising potential cures are miracles just waiting to be unleashed from within us. In this case, from the electricity that crackles up and down the longest nerve in our body. As Kelly Owens will tell you, if you're going to be stuck with a terrible disease, this is the best century to be stuck with one. Kevin Tracy, bioelectronics pioneer. When you have exhausted all possibilities, remember this. You haven't. Thomas Edison, iconic American inventor. When Kevin Tracy was a neurosurgical resident at New York Presbyterian Hospital, an 11-month-old named Janice came in with burns over three-quarters of her body, an accident with a pot of boiling pasta water. Somehow the medical team stabilized her. 3 weeks later, with the relieved family smiling on, Tracy celebrated Janice's first birthday in a room decked with streamers and balloons. The baby couldn't have been more cheerful. One day after that, her organs shut down. Her blood pressure plunged through the floor. Janice succumbed to the lethal immune response known as septic shock. Her body flooded with an inflammatory substance called tumor necrosis factor, or TNF. She died in the young surgeon's arms. Tracy had lost patients before, but he couldn't let this one go. TNF is a cytokine, a chemical messenger that promotes pain, swelling, warmth, and redness, the telltale components of inflammation. When it first senses an infection, our immune system deploys cytokines to signal other immune cells to enlist for a limited tour of duty. Once the infection is under control, the body switches up its immune response by generating anti-inflammatory cytokines and getting back to home base. But Janice never had an infection. It just didn't add up. Why did the baby's white blood cells secrete so much TNF? What pushed her immune system off the rails? Putting a promising surgical career on hold, Tracy detoured to the field of immunology and endless mice studies. His research led him to challenge a medical gospel. The germ theory of disease, which went back to the 1860s and the French chemist Louis Pasteur. Based on experiments with spoiled food, Pasteur concluded that sickness came from microorganisms outside our body. It followed that our immune system worked to keep us well, that it played a purely positive, protective role. The breakthrough in autoimmune disease, understanding the power of the vagus nerve. When Dr. Kevin Tracy first spotted the hole in the germ theory, he started looking for answers. What could be causing the immune system to attack the body instead of protecting it? He found a clue in some mid-1990s animal research that focused on the power of the vagus nerve. What is it? The vagus nerve runs from the base of the brain, roughly parallel to your ears, through the neck, chest, and abdomen, and then to literally every major organ via bundles of thousands of fibers. It controls breathing, swallowing, and speech. It also connects the brain to the gut, our second brain. Have you ever had a gut feeling or butterflies in your stomach? Have you ever taken a deep breath to calm down? Whether you know it or not, your vagus nerve was controlling your emotional state. And Tracy wondered, could the vagus nerve be the missing link in chronic inflammation? Could we treat disease by hacking into the nervous system? And here's the breakthrough. Could electrical impulses help a sick person recover? In 1998, he tested his hypothesis with anesthetized lab rats. Using a handheld surgical tool, he touched the rat's vagus nerve with a live wire. The animal's inflammatory cytokines were scaled back to a healthy, harmless level. That was a huge eureka moment for Tracy. It led to what he called the birth of bioelectronic medicine. What is bioelectric medicine? Electroceuticals have been with us since ancient Egyptians soothed their joint pain by standing on electric catfish. I'd ask you to not try this at home. Those fish can generate up to 450 volts. Some better-known examples of bioelectric medicine include the cardiac pacemaker and cochlear implants. I'm sure you've heard of deep brain stimulation, where electrodes are implanted to reduce tremor in Parkinson's patients. In 1997, the FDA approved vagus nerve stimulation for treating epilepsy, and a few years later for depression, among the most dramatic breakthroughs in modern medicine. But before Dr. Tracy, no one had shown that the nervous system talked to the immune system. In fact, the idea was heresy. Besides, nerves were fixed within tissues. How could they communicate with free-floating white blood cells? Yet the animal experiments proved that those signals were being received loud and clear. They pointed to a time when electricity will mobilize the body's own machinery to manage all sorts of illnesses. Talk about future shock. Over the next 11 years, as head of the Feinstein Institute and co-founder of Setpoint Medical, Tracy worked with his team to better understand the nervous immune pathway, or the inflammatory reflex, as he named it. It turns out the human body is one big circuit board with neurons winding in and out of organs to regulate their immune response. The vagus nerve is tuned to recognize excess inflammation and send alerts to the brain. Then it carries the brain's electrical response to our spleen, a truck stop for white blood cells. We have Tracy to credit for the cytokine theory of disease, which clarified the concept of autoimmunity. The germ theory wasn't wrong, but it was incomplete. With due respect to Pasteur, some of the biggest threats to our health come from within. Thanks to Tracy and other trailblazing scientists, we're finding out that some of the best solutions come from the same place. We are stronger in the places we have been broken. Ernest Hemingway. Back in the 1980s, Tracy played a big role in developing biologics, those heavily marketed cell-based medicines like Humira and Rituxan. Now he wants to make them obsolete. As Tracy sees it, biologics are too broad a brush. Though safer and more targeted than steroids or chemotherapies, they're lifetime drugs that still weaken the immune system in its fight against pneumonia, diabetes, high blood pressure, and lymphoma. And as Tracy pointed out, biologics don't even work in about half the patients who take them. The beauty of bioelectronics is that it takes aim at a specific bundle of nerve fibers. It targets the tissues or organs where the immune system has run amok, but nowhere else. The therapy calms inflammation by depressing cytokine levels across the board, but stops short of wiping out any one of them. The immune system stays intact to fight another day. Gain without pain. In 2011, Tracy launched a proof-of-concept trial for patients with rheumatoid arthritis, a rampant, stubborn disorder that shortens the lives of more than 1.3 million Americans. The first results were astounding. Within 2 weeks of receiving vagus nerve stimulation, subjects reported less pain. Their swelling went down, and MRIs revealed that bone erosion had actually been reversed. 6 of 8 patients saw their disease ebb away. One woman came in unable to hold a pencil and was soon bicycling 10 miles. In 2017, Kelly Owens ran across a notice for another early bioelectronics trial for Crohn's disease on clinicaltrials.gov. As an aside, let me recommend that resource to anyone saddled with a disease with no effective treatment. Experimental therapies come with no guarantees, but you give yourself a shot by enrolling in a legitimate trial, and clinicaltrials.gov is the best place to find one. The study was being run by Kevin Tracy's associates in Amsterdam. Did a little thing like moving to Europe stop Kelly? Not a chance. She and her husband, Sean, sold their car and everything in our house that wasn't nailed to the floor, she says. They raised money from friends and family and GoFundMe. With Kelly's cane and wheelchair in tow, they moved to Holland for 5 months. In a 45-minute procedure, a surgeon implanted into Kelly's chest a device the size of a thumb drive, a microregulator that spoke the vagus nerve's language, a pattern of electrical impulses dished out in tiny milliamp doses. The device was activated by a small magnet that Kelly held over her chest 4 times a day, 1 minute at a time. The results were almost instantaneous. Going to sleep the night after the surgery, she realized she didn't need her pain meds. 2 weeks later, running late for a doctor's appointment, she sprinted up 2 flights of stairs without thinking twice, and then looked down at her husband still at the bottom, standing there slack-jawed. The trial enrolled 16 Crohn's patients, none of whom had responded to conventional therapies. While the number of subjects in this trial was small, the results were impressive. With bioelectronics, 8 made dramatic progress, markedly less inflammation, greater mobility, fewer hospital admissions. 4 of those 8 made it all the way to remission with little or no residual disease and no side effects. Kelly is one of those 4. Her inflamed colon has healed. She eats salads without a second thought. The swelling in her joints is gone. She works out on an elliptical these days and hikes for miles, when she can spare the time, that is, from her full-time job as Director of Education and Outreach at the Feinstein Institute in Manhasset, New York. 3 years after her trip to the Netherlands, she has no symptoms, no pain. She's off all her meds. Kelly has reset her immune system to where it was at age 12, before she began fighting her 15-year war. Kevin Tracy is the first to acknowledge that bioelectronics isn't a panacea for autoimmune disease, not yet, at least. The search for optimal dosing is still a work in progress. Some subjects have shown little improvement. Tracy suspects that different Crohn's patients might benefit from pulses aimed at different bundles of nerve fibers, just as various types of breast cancer respond to diverse biologics. In a prime example of Moore's Law, SetPoint's second-generation implant is the size of a pencil eraser, fastened directly to the vagus nerve. An integrated battery has a 10-year-plus lifespan and is recharged with a wireless collar. Doctors control the electrical doses with an iPad app. As the technology advances and the science moves through larger trials, bioelectronic medicine is poised to help millions of patients. Tracy believes it could someday replace both chemical drugs and biologics with less risk and lower costs. The technology's potential for eliminating pain, not only in your back but throughout your body, is breathtaking. Remember, we covered multiple solutions for living pain-free in Chapter 11. To show her gratitude for the person who gave me back my life, Kelly Owens sent Tracy a gift, her pink cane. It's proudly displayed in the scientist's office among his framed diplomas and plaques and piles of papers on his world-shaking discovery. Kelly's sure she'll never need the cane again. Now let's turn to a second powerful tool that's showing even more near-term promise for treating the most difficult autoimmune diseases. Tool number 2, using stem cells to treat autoimmune disease. These tiny cells, stem cells, may have the potential to help us understand and possibly cure some of our most devastating diseases and conditions. Barack Obama, 44th President of the United States. While bioelectronics is still in a relatively early stage of testing on various autoimmune diseases, there's another therapy that's already well into advanced FDA trials. It was pioneered by Dr. Silviu Itescu, whom I had the great pleasure of meeting at the Vatican's Unite to Cure conference. As CEO of Mesoblast and former chief of transplantation immunology at Columbia University Medical Center, Dr. Itescu found that your body, your bone marrow, contains a homegrown pantry of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medicines. We know them as stem cells. In the fight against autoimmune disease, early evidence suggests that all these cells may need is some reinforcement. The native stem cells are also known as mesenchymal precursor cells, some of the body's most versatile and potent building blocks. They differentiate into bone, cartilage, muscle, or fat, whatever we need. After an injury, they're crucial on two counts. They keep inflammation within normal, healthy bounds, plus they repair damaged tissue. The problem, as you know by now, is that stem cells grow scarcer with age, especially in people with chronic problems like rheumatoid arthritis. As our stem cell army gets exhausted, Itescu explained, there comes a tipping point where the immune disease is rip-roaring away and you don't have enough of your own stem cells to control the immune response. Mesoblast's solution is to replenish the body. A highly concentrated dose of stem cells goes to just the right spots, whether it's the bloodstream or the knees or the heart muscle. The company collects the cells from healthy adult donors, cultures and expands them at industrial scale, and injects them into a patient. Though different cell subtypes are matched to a disease's inflammatory signature, the two-step therapy stays essentially the same, what Itescu calls a package of goodies from living delivery vehicles. When the injected stem cells sniff out signals from injured tissue, they go into action mode and release a first wave of anti-inflammatory cytokines. Then comes the second wave, the recovery phase, where the stem cells secrete growth factor cocktails to build new blood vessels and improve circulation and oxygen supply. As I described to you in Chapter 2, this is just the way stem cells solved my rotator cuff tear and the stenosis in my spine, without surgery. They removed the inflammation and stimulated my body to heal itself. While the stem cells leave the body after just a month or two, the secreted growth factors may circulate for a year or more. Those anti-inflammatory molecules are Mesoblast's secret sauce. They recalibrate the body's immune thermostat to its natural setting, and since they don't suppress the immune system, there's no added risk of infection or malignancy. As a bonus, Mesoblast's proprietary medicines can be administered off the shelf. Our immune system doesn't mark these cells as foreign. As a result, donors and recipients don't need to be matched. Again, this is exactly what happened with me. In advanced trials, Mesoblast is hitting triples, not singles. The company's first approved product has made remarkable headway in combating what Itescu calls the mother of all inflammation, graft versus host disease. GVHD is a dangerous complication of bone marrow transplants after blood cancer chemotherapy. Most of these transplant patients are children. Even with steroids as a buffer, half of them get attacked by the donor marrow. The immune response is so violent that their mortality rate runs as high as 90%. As of mid-2020, there were no approved therapies in the U.S. for children under 12. Mesoblast's completed Phase 3 trial involved 4 weekly IV infusions of a product called Remestemcel-L. It was tried on children who'd failed to respond to steroids, who were at death's door, and yet 69% reached the 6-month survival point. The stem cells pushed them into remission. Just like that, the playing field for GVHD changed. Other mesoblast therapies have also shown dramatic promise in recent studies and are close to FDA approval. Here are just a few. 1. Rheumatoid arthritis. In a placebo-controlled Phase 2 trial with rheumatoid arthritis patients who'd failed to respond to biologics, 36% showed significant clinical improvement after one stem cell infusion versus none in the placebo group. 2. End-stage heart failure. These patients face a 1-year mortality rate of more than 50%, meaning half die within a year. In the past, these people have had only 2 options, heart transplants, where demand far exceeds supply, and mechanical pumping devices, which often send patients back into the hospital with gastrointestinal bleeding. Itescu believes that late-stage heart failure is all about inflammation and out-of-control inflammatory cytokines. In another Phase 2 trial, a mesoblast cellular medicine called Revascor, injected into patients' heart muscles, resulted in 76% fewer GI bleeding events and 65% fewer hospitalizations. 3. Back pain. More than 3 million people in the U.S. suffer from persistent low back pain, a chronic condition that accounts for more than half of all opioid prescriptions. Many are lured into invasive and costly spinal fusion surgery, which fails at least half the time. While the typical diagnosis is degenerative disc disease, Itescu is convinced that the root of this agony is inflammation, specifically an autoimmune response involving ingrown nerves and blood vessels. In a phase 3 trial, after a single mesoblast injection into the problem disc, 60% of patients reported minimal to no pain after 12 months, and 54% after 24 months. This therapy has already received conditional approval in Japan, where it's being fast-tracked to market. Instead of fusing or removing the problem disc, regenerative medicine is healing it. According to Hyun Bae, a professor of surgery at the Cedars-Sinai Spine Center, we are fast approaching an inflection point in the treatment of low back pain. As I write this, there's no single approved cure for any of the hundreds of autoimmune diseases. But there's plenty of grounds for optimism, as you've seen in this chapter. We're at the stage where breakthrough interventions may be closer than most people think. Like Kevin Tracy's bioelectronics and Dr. Itescu's mesenchymal stem cells, these innovative solutions aim to help our system self-correct, to reset our immune response, not suppress it. In fact, for those with type 1 diabetes, a disease that's widely believed to be manageable but not curable, Harvard's Dr. Douglas Melton is transplanting lab-grown insulin-producing beta cells and hiding them from hostile immune cells by modifying the epigenome. His goal is nothing less than a cure. Here's another example, a CAR T-cell cancer therapy spin-off. Scientists are extracting immune cells that have slacked off on the job. They get re-engineered to do their duty, then re-injected into the patient. Finally, Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles is using virtual reality distraction therapy to alleviate chronic severe pain, one of the most demoralizing aspects of autoimmune disease. In a recent study there, patients using VR headsets for 30 minutes a day reported significantly less pain than a control group. How does VR work? The answer is that human beings are bad at multitasking. It wasn't on our evolutionary agenda. An immersive 3D experience floods the brain with so much multisensory input that pain can't get through. Tool number 3. Blood boys and the power of blood plasma. Our next approach is the power of young blood, a technology we mentioned briefly in chapters 17 and 18 on heart disease and stroke. Have you heard of parabiosis? Let me explain it this way. If you splice together the circulatory systems of a young mouse with an old mouse, the old mouse gets biologically younger. The concept was satirized in the HBO series Silicon Valley, where a tech billionaire pays a young man to be his blood boy and transfuse his plasma as a longevity booster. Setting the moral issues aside, at least where the mice were concerned, the rejuvenation impact was shocking. The old mouse's tissues and organs, even its fur, regained the characteristics of a far younger, healthier animal. Follow-up studies both confirmed this finding and showed the reverse also held true. Transfuse younger mice with blood from older ones, and the biological clock spins forward, accelerating decrepitude and aging. So how exactly does parabiosis work? There's no shortage of theories. Elevion, the Harvard team, is focusing on a protein called GDF11, a young blood factor that gets depleted in your blood serum as you get older. They are using it to treat heart disease and stroke. Another idea is that aging generates so many pro-inflammatory molecules that it shifts the body to an always-on alert mode and throws the immune system into overdrive. Over time, this hyper state makes the body more prone to strokes, heart attacks, and neurodegenerative disease in people as well as mice. This is where blood plasma comes in. What is plasma? It's the liquid component of blood that contains no blood cells but is rich in hundreds of different proteins, plus in people with autoimmune problems, disease-causing antibodies. The concept, at least in theory, is simple. If we can flush out pro-inflammatory molecules, we can delay or even block the aging process, right? That's the question that Irina and Michael Conboy, a dream team of bioengineers at the University of California, Berkeley, sought to answer. In their seminal 2005 study, they connected the circulatory systems of two inbred genetically identical mice, one old, one young. For the older mouse, it was like the ultimate spa weekend. Within 5 weeks, its dormant, aged stem cells began dividing again, repairing its muscle and liver cells. Its inflammation subsided. On a cellular level, the older mouse became absolutely younger, and the younger mouse got objectively older. Now, thanks to a new twist, we may be able to get these rejuvenating benefits without the vampire element or needing our own blood boy. Researchers are exploring a concept called therapeutic plasma exchange, or TPE, to replicate the Conboy's results and slow the effects of aging in humans. Therapeutic plasma exchange separates out the aging plasma and reinfuses the person with their old blood cells plus a plasma replacement fluid composed mostly of fresh albumin, the major protein in plasma, and saline. In this fashion, the inflammatory blood factors are winnowed out. TPE has already been proven to help patients with autoimmune diseases like myasthenia gravis and Guillain-Barré syndrome, or those with relapses of multiple sclerosis. More recently, the remarkable AMBAR study showed that TPE slowed the cognitive decline of Alzheimer's patients by 66%. While the jury is still out on exactly how TPE does what it does, the therapy's combination of rapid-fire results, a strong safety profile, and profound regenerative effects could land it a starring role in the future of regenerative medicine. Tool number four. Neutralis is dissolving nets, a potential cure for autoimmune disease. Our next breakthrough technology could change the face of autoimmune disease, inflammation, and COVID-19. That's right, I said COVID. You're probably wondering what they all have in common. It involves the most prevalent white blood cell in our immune system, the neutrophil. When neutrophils are helping to repair a wound after you damage your skin, they actually release the DNA from the nucleus, like Spider-Man spinning a web to entrap his enemy. This mass of DNA, called neutrophil extracellular traps, or NETs, sticks and helps to close and heal a wound, a sort of biological bandage. The problems start when neutrophils are signaled to release their NETs at the wrong time, or in the wrong place. Problem number one. The NETs appear to be one of the fundamental causes of autoimmune diseases throughout the body, lupus, Crohn's disease, psoriasis, rheumatoid arthritis, because neutrophils improperly release their NETs. Problem 2. NETs activated by COVID are causing blood clots. In the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic, a sinister side effect of the infection was a blood clotting problem, where victims of COVID were getting clots in their smaller blood vessels for unknown reasons. Now we know that the cause was these NETs, which were trapping clusters of red blood cells into large clumps, blocking flow through blood vessels. So how does your body rid itself of these dangerous NETs? Is there a solution that could possibly impact this pervasive underlying ailment called inflammation? As it turns out, a brilliant Boston-based biotech company called Neutralis, Peter and I are both investors, has created several promising therapies, including one ongoing clinical trial in COVID. Led by a pair of young immunologists out of the Max Planck Institute and Harvard Medical School, the company has invented a technology, a molecular scissors that cuts up free-floating DNA to chop NETs composed of DNA into small pieces. Once the NETs are slashed, their fragments get cleared from the body. The bottom line? Significantly lower inflammation and an end to dangerous clumping in COVID patients. Tool number five, an anti-inflammatory diet. Tell me what you eat and I will tell you what you are. Jean-Antoine Briat-Savarin, 19th-century French lawyer and essayist, and the father of the low-carbohydrate diet. The second best way to deal with autoimmune disease is to leverage the most powerful diagnostics and therapies on tap, but the best way is to avoid getting sick in the first place. In either case, enemy number one is chronic inflammation, which isn't altogether bad news. We can't do much about our genome, but there's a lot we can do to block inflammatory toxins that wreak havoc on our bodies. It takes some planning and effort, but we can all take affirmative steps to shield our immune systems. You might begin with stress management. Stressful events are associated with an increased risk of having MS relapses, and periods of high stress are linked to the onset and worsening of rheumatoid arthritis. We'll address this issue more fully in the context of mindfulness in our concluding chapter. One especially powerful tool to contain or prevent autoimmunity is an anti-inflammatory diet. Nutritional research counts on self-reported data and is generally less than reliable, especially when it tries to link diet and disease. Studies on certain foods, including dairy products and red meat, are all over the map. Even so, there's a fairly strong consensus over the following two lists, as cited by the Harvard Women's Health Watch. Foods that cause inflammation. Refined carbohydrates, white bread, and pastries. Soda and other sweetened beverages. Processed meat, hot dogs, sausage. French fries and fried food in general. Margarine and shortening. Foods that fight inflammation. Olive oil, green leafy vegetables, brightly colored vegetables, fatty fish, wild salmon, mackerel. Most fruits, nuts and seeds, green tea. Taken all together, I'm sure you can see how these five latest breakthroughs on autoimmune disease can be invaluable in fighting this debilitating disease. Though many of these advances are in relatively early stages, the returns so far are strongly encouraging. If you or anyone you care about is battling one of these conditions, you now have real answers you can discuss with your doctor. By controlling our stress and diet, we can go a long way toward alleviating and even preventing this 21st century scourge. Now that we know how to deal with inflammation, our next chapter examines a pair of challenges that impact a dramatic number of people both in the United States and worldwide, where the root problems and some of the most promising solutions are all about lifestyle, obesity, and type 2 diabetes. Measuring your inflammatory age. To control and alleviate chronic inflammation, we first need to learn how to measure it. Edifice Health has created the world's first diagnostic test to reveal a person's inflammatory age, or iAge. It's built on data from Stanford's 1000 Immunomes Project, which uses AI and machine learning to home in on the most significant blood biomarkers. Their conclusion? The best gauges of our inflammation level and our inflammatory age are about 7,500 proteins. Edifice has condensed this large set to a core panel of 5 protein biomarkers, and their predictive power is startling. They can foretell frailty 7 years before it happens. They can predict cardiovascular aging, arterial stiffness, and heart thickness, even in currently healthy people. The Edifice blood test and iAge metric is also able to pinpoint people with undiagnosed autoimmune diseases. This technology is up and running today and should be commercially available by mid-2022. It costs $250 per test, or you can get a subscription service for $60 per month. But Edifice isn't stopping there. Once you know your iAge, what can you do to improve your outlook? Beyond lifestyle guidance, Edifice Health will also offer personalized supplements, currently under study by an institutional review board, to improve a client's inflammatory profile.